Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. The Texans signed Damon Arnett, cornerback, formerly of the Raiders. Probably, as far as his NFL career goes, he was with the practice squad with the Dolphins for a brief period of time. He was with the Chiefs for a week before he got arrested on another occasion. He's got a long rap sheet. And each of the arrests seems to have an element of him possessing a gun, but not discharging the gun.
Yes, I feel like that's important.
A lot of gun possession going on, not a lot of gun shooting going on.
I ought to take these to this is a Second Amendment issue more than the Texans issue, other than the time he threatened people on the live stream. With his weapons.
I feel like there's three that we need to point out, and we're going to play audio from Damon Arnett in just a second here. Yeah. He's obviously turned his life around, or the Texans wouldn't be signing him. Of all teams, I think the Texans wouldn't be signing Damon Arnett. Played for the Roughnecks this past season here in Houston in the UFL. I think the three most noteworthy things on his rap sheet, because keep in mind, he was in the NFL for a total of 13 games with the Raiders. He was released by the Raiders when a video surfaced back in early November of 2021 of him flashing guns and making death threats to people online. And this, keep in mind, that video surfaced a week after the Henry Ruggs DWI that killed a person. So the Raiders, both their first-round picks from the previous year's draft gone in a week for really bad reasons. The second one for me that I just chuckle at is he got pulled over for driving with a suspended license. This is like a year later.
Well, it happens.
Pulled over. Huh. Happens. The cop said, okay, we're going to let you go. If your friend drives home, we'll let you go. He got pulled over later that same night with a suspended license.
Well, how is he going to get the car safely home?
His friend.
That was a lapse in judgment.
The third one, and I think that definitely a lapse in judgment. The third one, the most recent one, and it's not all that long ago. It was in early 2025, January of 2024. He was arrested for having meth and obviously having a gun. That's
possession
part of his gimmick.
Unlawful carry of a firearm. Yeah, this is where that word that Rich Lord loves might creep in. Recidivism.
Recidivism. He loves that.
This is what scares me the most about all of it. It doesn't scare me, to be clear, up front. I'm guessing the deal is for the veteran minimum. Yeah. You're taking a flyer on a guy that's gone through some stuff. We're going to hear from here in a second. Yeah. It sounds like he's kind of maybe grown up and realized the error of his ways.
Yep.
It's relevant that what was the one in Kansas City where it was assault? He was arrested.
It was
for assault
let me pull that. It's signed by KC in January of 2022. 9 days later, he was arrested in Vegas for assault with a deadly weapon, carrying a concealed weapon without a permit, and two counts of carrying an illegal controlled substance.
Right.
I don't know the details of that one. I don't have
this.
My
dividing line is usually, okay, there's crimes against oneself and then crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
The assault gives me pause. The earlier one where he was brandishing the weapons on social media, that gives me pause. Yep. That's a crime against humanity, making threats with weapons. But then the one that's a crime against oneself, but freaks me out a little bit is the meth.
Yeah.
I don't, like, if a guy got pulled over with marijuana or something, like, okay, so be it. However you feel about that, it's a bad decision. But the meth, man, it's not something to be trifled with, especially if you've got prior issues. That's the one that makes me feel most nervous about it, that aside from the actual assault charges.
And reportedly he wanted to get into the UFL last year in 2024. their season would have been starting just weeks after that meth arrest, and the UFL said no. The UFL did say yes to allowing him in their league this past spring, and he played for the Roughnecks. Here was Damon Arnette. He did a sit-down with Jean-Jacques Taylor, who is he's a host up in Dallas. He covers the Cowboys up there, and he did a sit down with Damon Arnette. And Arnette is from that area, I believe. He's from the Dallas area. On the changes, this is Arnette after all the arrests, on the changes that he'd made in his life and kind of the wake up call that he got.
In jail, making wrong decisions, three kids, three different moms, you know, millions of dollars, no dollars. And where I'm at today is the best version of myself after going through all of that, and still motivated to keep going. The only answer to that is God. There's no way I shouldn't be dead in jail in a way worse situation than I'm in right now. Whatever it is I went through, I feel like it's to prepare me what I've asked for from the very beginning. To be a great son, a great father, a great nephew, just somebody that somebody with a good heart can look at me and feel proud and inspired to never quit, to never give up.
If I were to give advice, I would tell him to up his energy level a little bit on his interviews.
Yeah, as far as, and presenting yourself to the guys whose drug problems are behind him and everything. No, 100%. Yeah. Like, I think most people listening would be like, okay, I think I'm all for guys turning their lives around, and sometimes it can happen. The thing you always have to be wary of, and this is, again, I'm cool with the deal because I'm guessing it's minimal, and they would cut ties with him as soon as there is a hint of trouble. The problem with people sometimes when they've been through multiple brush-ups and they've had court-ordered therapy and everything is they get really good at saying exactly what the counselor or the judge or anybody else wants to hear. You know, my wife was a intervention counselor. Yeah. The guys that have been through it the most know exactly what to say. They've been basically coached up on what to say.
Yep.
So really, it just has to come down to what have his actions been like for the last 18 months since his last arrest? And he apparently walked the narrow path while he was in the UFL. And we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to look at it like, oh, yeah, this guy's the answer.
Yeah.
It's just it's what Nick always says. Get a guy in the building and see what happens.
Aaron Wilson's got a quote. Aaron Wilson, KPRC2. He's got two things, actually. Aaron Wilson actually did an interview with Damon Arnette that's up on his YouTube page. It's very good. The problem is the audio quality is not great. Aaron, if you're listening, I would tell you, invest in some microphones. Because you get good interviews, but invest in a couple microphones and then the audio becomes a little bit more usable.
I'll tell them right now, anybody out there who's interested, the best one that's easy to use, Figgy uses this.
Yep.
It's the DJI.
I bought some.
DJI 2. Super easy. Yeah.
Yep. They have the magnet. You can clip them to your shirt right there.
Yeah.
They're great. Yep. I bought them also. So invest in those. They're worth a couple $100, but it's well worth it. Anyways, so Aaron's got some good stuff in an interview with him. Aaron also talked to John Gruden, and Gruden had this quote on Damon Arnette. He's got a whole new identity. He doesn't look the same. He doesn't act the same. He's not the same. He's changed his identity. He's changed the circle of people in his life in a good way. He's focused. He's determined. He's got to make up for some time that he lost. He's really concentrating on stringing good days together. I'm really proud of him. End quote. John Gruden drafted Damon Arnette in Las Vegas for the Raiders back in the day. So Arnette mentions those things in the interview with Aaron. Like, he's changed his inner circle. He's changed a lot of things. He's 28 years old, man. So he's 28 years old with three kids, with three different women. He's got a short runway here where he can really start to recoup some of the millions and millions that he lost by being a knucklehead these last few years.
John Matuszak existed. John Matuszak was an absolute mess. People in Houston that of a certain age will remember this.
Yes.
And he figured, ironically enough, when he went to the Raiders, he figured it all out.
Go figure.
He got his life turned
around. I'm like
around.
That guy and that guy.
I don't know if he ever turned his life around. It was a lot easier to hide stuff back then.
Yeah.
Did we play the McLean audio?
We're going to. I just wanted to show the side of the aisle that is in favor of this signing.
Yeah, I like it just because it's low risk, potential high upside. It's really hard to find guys who have the physical traits of cornerbacks who went in the first round.
Yeah.
And if you can just spare some change to take a swing at the plate, I'm cool with it.
John McClain, not a fan of this signing at all. He was on with the guys on Area 45 last night, Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani, and John McClain thinks that this is the worst signing in the history of the franchise.
I think Damon Arnett's the worst signing in this franchise's history. How they wow. have lowered themselves to sign a guy like this, who's and they said, well, he deserves a second chance. No, he's had a second chance with the Chiefs, with the Dolphins. The Raiders cut him. You know, when the Raiders cut players, you got to be bad.
Okay. So the worst hyperbole. Yeah.
If they had signed him to a 2 years, like $6 million contract or something, I would say, yeah, that was. It's still not the worst signing in Texans history. Yeah. It's pocket change and to take a risk on the upside. Okuda and Henderson, last year's projects, didn't have a rap sheet or anything else like that. They just hadn't performed up to expectations in the NFL.
Yeah.
They brought him in to see if they could maybe get a better version of those guys out of him. So this is an extreme version of that, but you're not spending a whole lot of money for it. The bad move would be is if something happened and they kept him on the roster.
Right.
I guess this is a one strike and you're out situation.
Yeah.
And sometimes guys do turn it around. So I'm not and his scouting report coming out of college was it sounds like a swarm type of defensive player for the Texans.
Yeah.
Very physical, not afraid to stick his nose into a pile. Was like played with a lot of swarm tendencies.
Sure.
And it's interesting. I looked up a couple of the people who we go to, Bob McGinn, for anonymous quotes and everything, nothing mentioned about any potential character issues or anything.
I think it's relevant. Like he played before
NIL.
He played before NIL, but I think it's also relevant. Like he was at Ohio State for 5 years. You know, like coming in, like it's if you have character issues, it'll reveal itself in college over a 5 year period. Now, you know, his coach was Urban Meyer for part of that time, you know, so it's, for most of that time. So,
right. No,
maybe there was stuff, you know.
You got to go back to the old classic. When a program is found to have done multiple things wrong, those aren't the only multiple things that were that went wrong.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. So,
Aaron Hernandez was a swell fella until he wasn't.
Until he wasn't. Yep. So, I'm with you. I'm on the same side with you on this one. I'm for the signing. Minimal dollars. Guy's turned his life around. Let's see where it goes. I think some of this too is a trust in the filter that D'Amico Ryans looks at players through. I would like to think that given that Arnett was playing here in Houston with the UFL, that it was very easy for the Texans to get that. Well, I mean, they brought him in for a tryout, so they had a chance to sit down with him and not only watch him physically, but sit down with him and vibe out if indeed all the turnaround that he's experienced over the last 18 months is real.
No, and the big part of it is, as he cited, is, okay, getting rid of certain people from your circle. There comes a time, and sometimes guys aren't good at doing it. When you're 22 years old, there might be some people in your life when you get drafted that you just got to say, sorry, man, call me selfish, call me a jerk, but I can't have you in my life. It's just that nothing good comes of it.
Yeah.
And maybe he finally had that realization that sometimes it's a really close family member that you just got to divorce yourself from because they're toxic and they're bad for people in their lives.
I hope it works, man. I hope it works. This particular texter, the signing won't work because the guy in the audio is high.
I don't know what he's talking about. I could never. How dare you level an accusation like that against a guy who's got multiple firearms and possession of meth 18 months ago?
Ben,
where do you even get that from?
Ben, just play the first 10 seconds of the Damon Arnett clip again.
It's in jail, making wrong decisions, 3 kids, 3 different moms, you know? Millions of dollars, no dollars.
There you go. I would tell you, this is purely presentation coaching going on, Damon, if you're listening. If you're going to go on interviews, drink some Red Bull. You know, do something that's going to, you know, up the energy level a little bit.
This is 18 months after being arrested for meth, and then you sound very, very lethargic
even more close. And I don't know when that interview took place with Jean-Jacques up in Dallas. It might have been weeks after the meth. Damon, my assessment is the meth isn't quite out of your system yet.
Of drug arrests that you don't want to hear your players involved with. It's any kind of extreme stimulant,
designer drugs,
heroin, obviously.
Yep.
I don't know. Like when it got, like, I'm not excusing other kids. Don't do any of these things, obviously. Yeah. But there's some that are just so incredibly damaging.
Yeah.
And there's not. It's just that you gotta. You really have to raise your eyebrows about it.
We don't see a lot of cocaine arrests these days. Feels like cocaine.
I think meth kind of took over.
Yeah, I think cocaine's gotten kind of phased out a little bit. They're like
law enforcement officers and/or counselors text in. It seems like. Well, I would guess. I would just imagine like fentanyl and meth are just so. They're cheaper, right?
I haven't priced them on Amazon recently. I'm not sure.
I have zero clue about some of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Some
of this stuff.
Cocaine feels like Blockbuster a little bit. Like the only place you can get cocaine anymore is in Bend, Oregon, outside the only Blockbuster that's still left out there. Because you don't hear about it very much anymore.
No, you don't hear about arrests or anything like that.
With coke. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. A lot of people weighing in on LeBron as well. LeBron, the only player that calls himself the GOAT. I doubt that's true. I'm sure there's other people
no,
out
he
there.
Did.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not the only one.
Oh yeah.
No, he called himself that in that audio we played. LeBron is a Laker, no bigger ring chasing culture in the NBA. Kobe traded to them for nothing. Pau Gasol traded to them for nothing. Multiple old guys clinging on for a ring. This is why LeBron is not well-liked. Read the room, dude.
Yeah, reading the room. He's not good at reading the room.
He's not good at reading the room.
Well, it's just the various things like claiming that he invented Taco Tuesday, or at least filing for the trademark for it. Like, all of these things. Remember the audio of him basically claiming that he invented the bonus album? Like, it just, all this stuff, it's weird. It's weird. And yet, it's a little window into, all right, man, sometimes the people who achieve great things, they're wired differently.
They are.
And like, Jim Harbaugh is like that.
Yes.
Yeah, you can point out all his zaniness all you want, but man, whatever it is, he's wired differently and it works for him.
I saw a tweet about Jim Harbaugh this week, and he was talking about apparently the getup that he wore on the sidelines at Michigan, the khakis. He wore every game, khakis with the long sleeve Michigan sweatshirt. That apparently he wears that around when he was with Michigan. That's what he wore everywhere. Like on the plane, coming home, they had a spare outfit in case it was raining or snowing for a game that he would change into the khakis and the sweatshirt. Like that was his gimmick. That was his uniform, and he wore it all the time. He's a weirdo, man. Harbaugh, a weird. He's just weird. LeBron's annoying.
It's hard to find a lot of all-time greats in any facet of life that aren't at least a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that only seem a little bit weird do a really good job of masking their extreme weirdness.
No doubt. Jalen Knoll, my assessment on him, not weird at all. Incredibly likable. And he was
maybe a little too likable.
Maybe
he needs to be a little bit more weird.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's do the judgment on that. What's he driving? What's his whip these days? He was on the St. Brown podcast. He had some fun answers to some of their questions. We'll get to one of the newer Texans, Jalen Knoll, coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, we'll get to Jalen Knoll. Seth, the replay of the Astros game is on in studio. The strides that Cam Smith has made in the last couple of months as a professional hitter are remarkable, the speed with which he is advancing here and becoming a guy. Didn't put him in the circle of trust earlier, but he's on the fringe right now.
Mm.
But he is he's going to be something else, man. When he gets it all figured out, because the physical tools are woof. Man.
Well, there's just so little to really complain about. Jordan was the extreme example of a guy who had also been in the minors for a long time already, but came in his rookie year. Remember, you were just kind of waiting for the moment where Jordan saw the adjustments that pitchers were going to make for the first time?
Yeah.
And then they made some adjustments and he adjusted and there was just never a blip. It was just smooth and steady. But he also had a lot of professional baseball experience. Where with Cam, it's less than a year of professional baseball experience.
No minor league. I mean, yeah, Yordan was this novelty in the minor leagues that we were only hearing about that was just tearing the cover off the ball. And we're all like, when are you bringing this guy up? And then you're right, they brought him up. And I go look at his rookie year numbers. He only played like 80-something games. He had like 80 RBIs, 78 RBIs in like 80 games.
Yeah, and I mean, in the course of, at first, you know, he struggled for a while. But then you go in, you start to look at his splits for the last couple of months. And in May, he hit .307 with a .788 OPS, above average baseball player.
Yeah.
In June, he's hitting .321 with an .874 OPS.
Yeah.
These last couple games have helped that a lot. We'll see where that is. But that's a very good Major League Baseball player who's also playing right field, playing outfield for the first time in his life.
At a high level, by the way. At a high level playing the outfield.
And unlike Kyle Tucker, you've got 5 years of control left after this year.
Yeah, that's fun.
Cubs better win a World Series, man. Cubs better win a World Series.
Or retain Tucker, you know, or keep him, you know.
Even then, though, even if they retain Tucker, do you really think that he's going to keep up that same level of play? I mean, he hasn't been the same guy in the last couple months that he was in the first month of the season.
No, I'm just saying to keep the natives at bay up in Chicago, it needs to be one or the other or both.
Well, right now, and we're talking about it like it was a one-player trade. Yeah. If it was just Cam Smith for Kyle Tucker at this point, I'd say, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Good move. But, oh, wait, there was more?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. The guy who's going to be an all-star at third base.
Yeah.
So, no, it's been good. Good job, Dana. You had a pitcher in that deal that went out with Tommy John surgery a month into the season, and the deal is still an amazing deal for the Astros.
Yeah.
You know, because the other two guys are doing great things. Jalen Knoll, third-round pick for the Texans, wide receiver. He was on the St. Brown podcast. That would be Amon-Ra St. Brown and Equanimeous St. Brown, the two St. Brown brothers. Good podcast, fun conversations, wide receivers on there most of the time. Okay. This is where Jalen Knoll probably gets the everyman on his side when it comes to, as you pointed out, Seth, this kid is very likable. Very likable. Very normal.
He said like four things that I would have disliked him for if he weren't so likable.
If he weren't so likable, this
planning on settling down in Dallas one day. Oh, but it's because his fiance is from there.
Yeah, we got to
And that's before he's that. This interview is when I think he had been through maybe rookie minicamp and that's it. So
yeah.
He hasn't had time to really learn about the city.
About Houston, yeah. So they asked him about, hey, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to buy a house, car? What are you doing with your signing bonus?
With the signing bonus that you're getting, what's your first purchase? Like, what's your first big purchase?
Oh, man. If I don't get, like, a furniture deal or something, I'm going to get some nice furniture.
Okay.
Furnish the crib.
So you're getting a crib, though? That would be, you're buying a crib?
Renting.
Rent, okay.
Renting. I won't buy until a second contract.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess crib, go into it, some furniture.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my little Toyota Camry for a little.
You got a Toyota Camry?
Yeah, 2021, red interior. So, it's good enough.
I respect that.
That'd be tough.
Yeah,
up some
for
shoes,
sure.
Like, Camry?
Yeah, no. Nah.
Okay. Not a big, I mean, you have some jewelry on, but you're.
Yeah, no, nah, I'm not like, this isn't.
Just
like,
some calm.
Yeah, calm.
Yeah, some calm.
Real calm.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Stack up bread.
What you got on your wrist?
This is nothing crazy. This is like a fake Rolex.
I know it's not fake, but hey,
it's fake. Nothing crazy.
I want to get a Rolex.
Well, if it was Amon-Ra showing it off, he's gotten his money.
His Camry, he's going to keep his Camry.
Yeah.
Sean, Longhorns will remember Tony Bracken's defensive end.
Yeah.
That I played with him my first few years in the league. And Bracken's was still driving his Camry that I think he'd had in high school.
Yeah.
And he was single. Like, he was like, Bracken's was a good dude. He grew up on a ranch, you know, like he just. He was just driving his cam, as he called it. And I love that Jalen Knoll, big purchase. He's not even upgrading over his Camry. Now, I know Camrys can be kind of pimped out these days, but still. They asked him about what he likes to do, and he said he brought up fishing.
Yeah.
Because he and Jaden Higgins fish together.
Yeah.
He likes to cook with his fiance and pretty much and lift weights. He loves lifting. That's the other thing we learned. Like, this is – and for a guy who's very small but benched 23 reps of 225 at the combine, which is a very good number for any size wide receiver, he's got all of those traits that I think that this had a lot of people looked at. A lot of people from outside of Houston thought that the Jalen Knoll draft pick might have been the best value in the draft.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things to like about him aside, above and beyond just his speed and wide receiving ability. Yep. Yeah. You watch 20 minutes of this interview and you're like, this is the greatest kid ever. Classic, like, oh, I would adopt this kid. Yes. Yeah. This kid would make my children better.
Well,
I need to upgrade.
And we're going to play a little more audio. We're going to upgrade.
I would never say that.
No, yeah. Me neither. But it's a valid notion. We're going to play some more audio here in a second, but I think it's what's relevant about that is this. Keep in mind, this was a player that a lot of the draft experts thought the Texans hit a home run on by getting him where they did. All the post-draft articles that said best pick, worst pick by each team, power rank the team's picks and things like that, almost universally the consensus was that Jalen Noel was the best pick on the Texans. I'm guessing that assessment was made, Seth, even without the benefit of interviews like this. They're just doing it based on what they saw in the film and what he could do at the next level, and he probably got downgraded because of his size.
I like this next answer he gave, Sean, because this, even as a 50-year-old man, I don't know if I would have come up with the answer that the interviewer was looking for at the combine. They asked him about if he got any weird, wacky combine questions in the interviews. The
question that kind of threw me off the most is, like, what do you dislike most about football?
Right.
And so that made me think.
They asked me that too.
I said injuries. Injuries. Like, that's a real thing. Though, yeah. I think. Yeah.
That is like such a key question.
It is.
It's a fair question because there's two things they're going to assess. One is, is the guy smart enough to even know he's supposed to give a diplomatic answer?
Right.
It's supposed to be like, what's your greatest weakness? I care too much.
Yeah.
Like, okay, just give me the standard cliche. I don't know, man. In my moment, I could still totally see somebody asking me that and me saying something like, man, some of these coaches be stupid as hell. You know, you get stuck with a really stupid coach. It's rough, man.
Yeah.
Going through all that. I can't help myself. That's a good one. That is a great way to take, hey, what's your least favorite part of football? Oh, losing. I hate losing.
Yeah.
Injuries, because I got to be out there with the guys. That is the correct answer.
I know the other bit of advice that you would give prospects going to the combine is that when they ask you, tell me some adversity that you've overcome in your career, your advice would be to have an answer. Have some form of adversity. For those who don't know, they asked you that, Seth, and you...
They asked me that, and I didn't want to... No, I had answers. I just didn't want to come off like a whiny little bitch.
Right.
So they said, like, what's some adversity you've overcome? I'm like, no, everything's been pretty cool. Problems here. And the guy was like, really? And I'm like, yep, nope. I can't complain about anything.
No.
I'm not going to sit here and whine and lay out like some sob story. You know why that happened? I remember the other day. I got to call this guy up. It was a college teammate of mine who was on a job interview. And the interviewer asked him the same question. Like, what was some adversity you've overcome? And he told a story that I still to this day think was a good story to tell. His mom, the police had raided his mom's house. And like arrested her and searched it because they had the wrong house. But it was like, it blew all up. Everybody in the neighborhood knew that the cops were busting in the house and everything. And the interviewer actually told my friend Doug, listen, just some advice. That's probably not the story you want to tell. And to this day, I'm still like, why? Do you not want interesting storytellers?
Right.
I thought that was a great story. But that had happened to my friend Doug like the year before. I was at the combine, and in my mind, I'm thinking, like, I don't know. Apparently, they don't want interesting stories, and I don't want to come off like some whiner, so I'm just going to say, nope, nothing.
So your buddy's job interview is what planted the seed for you in your job interview with the NFL
Some D-bag, white-collar, just a non-personality jerk didn't think it was a good story. It was an awesome story. I wish I could remember all the details. It was an awesome story that you should tell at every job interview.
The downside with that is you have legitimately good stories about that, like adversity type stories. Like,
The adversity type stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Whine about it though. Right. Yeah.
Well, I would have given you a high grade if you brought up any of the stories you brought up on this show. If you brought
it up, problem
though.
Usually, when I bring up my stories of adversity, I think it's hilarious. But then, as I told you, counselors and our radio audience don't always think it's a therapist. Don't think it's nearly as funny.
They don't think it's as funny. Like,
why is this quartered psychologist not laughing at this? It's hilarious.
It's hysterical. My dad's restaurant burned to the ground.
And it wasn't, I mean, to call it a restaurant is a little bit ambitious. But
pile of ashes now.
My dad's food shack.
Food shack. Yeah. Food shack.
I'm going to tell you about the time my dad was had an underground pot growing operation.
Yeah, legit
literally
story.
Underground. That's ambition right there.
Hell yeah.
He had a bunker.
Yeah.
He had a damn bunker.
When you move your operation underground, that's ambition. That is motivation. We were discussing the what we perceived to be the possible demise of cocaine as at least a drug that people get arrested for these days.
Yeah.
Text message. My favorite dive bar has something to say about your notion that coke is being phased out.
I thought about that as I was saying. I was like, okay, it's coming to this one. It's a more it's a upper middle class to upper class drug, and somehow weirdly they don't tend to be as many arrests for that stuff.
That's weird. It's strange.
It's weird. Yeah.
Someone watching on the YouTube. Nice shirts, guys. Guess y'all are having a boy.
We coordinated. We're both wearing H-Town Blue this morning.
I pop up on each other's screen this morning like, hey, how you doing there?
Nothing homerish about this.
No, man. Yeah. 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 We're ready for football season, man. We're ready to run through a wall for Damon Arnett. All right. Payne and Pendergast. Hey, speaking of the Texans, all quarter century team by ESPN just came out for the NFL. They did a 53-man roster and a coaching staff. Four Houston Texans made it. We'll tell you who they are. See if you can guess in your own mind who they are. We'll do that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so ESPN did their all-quarter-century team for the NFL, the best 53-man roster and coaches. So they've got multiple quarterbacks. It's a 53-man roster. So, you know, they got three quarterbacks on here. No big surprise. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, practice squad. I'm not going to go through all the positions. We'll go through a few of them maybe if we have time. But, Seth, there are four Houston Texans, former Houston Texans, that made the all quarter century team in the NFL.
I'm going to guess off the top of my head that at least two of them are going to be ones that we don't really feel ownership with. Okay, these guys belong to another team.
Yeah.
Assuredly.
One for sure.
Yes. And everybody listening knows who I'm talking about. Yeah,
one for sure. A second one that, you know, feeling ownership, it probably feels some ownership because of geographically where he's from, but he did his most damage in the NFL with another team.
Yeah.
And then I think the other two, let's just get to the obvious here. J.J. Watt is on this quarter century team. That's
right.
J.J. Watt's
on the quarter century team. And
he's
obviously,
ours.
Yes, he's a Texans player.
He's ours.
The NFL Hall of Fame doesn't induct guys attached to a specific team, but if they did, he'd go in as a Texan.
100%. And it's funny, too, the way they get him in here is they have edge rushers on the team, right? So they have DeMarcus Ware, Jared Allen, Miles Garrett, and Julius Peppers as the edge rushers all quarter century, with T.J. Watt and Michael Strahan being the practice squad guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have defensive tackles. They have three of them: Aaron Donald, Calais Campbell, and Chris Jones.
Okay.
With Kevin Williams and Cam Hayward as the practice squad. They have a pure nose tackle in Vince Wilfork. So I guess that's five. I'm sorry. That's five Texans. Yeah.
Wilfork was the guy I was thinking of.
Well,
he was one of the other ones that I don't feel ownership over.
And I'll get to the other ones here. So there's five former Texans on here. My bad. And then so I'm down to nose tackle. I'm like, where the hell is J.J. Watt on this all-quarter century team? He has his own category. Versatile defensive lineman. J.J. Watt.
Because he was, the earlier part of his career, he was a classic, in a lot of ways, like a 3-4 defensive end, where he was an interior defensive lineman more so than anything. But then he transitioned out into being an edge rusher. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit of, should they have? That's accurate, though. I think they got to do it that way.
Well, especially
because when he got his defensive MVPs, it was with Wade Phillips and with Romeo Crennel's defenses, where he was more of an interior defensive lineman.
It's a 53-man roster, so as long as he's on it, it's all good. And I think this is a way of paying him a compliment, if nothing else, you know, that he can play all these positions. So J.J. Watt is on there. Vince Wilfork, as we just mentioned, former Texan on there. I think we all know the one that we feel zero ownership of because he didn't really feel like he ever wanted to be here. Ed Reed is on this, deservedly so. You know, he is one of the greatest safeties of all time, at least his body of work with the Ravens was. I mean, I'm as bitter about Ed Reed.
There's no other fan base in the NFL that feels the same way we do about Ed Reed.
Yes.
It was with Ed Reed, he was a harbinger of doom.
He was
part of just taking something that had a lot of promise, and it just all collapsed.
Yep. So Ed Reed. Now, the one that I was thinking of that you were probably thinking of, you know, you were thinking Wilfork. Shane Leckler is on this all quarter century team.
Yeah, so that's where I was wondering with the Wilfork one, because I was thinking Vince Wilfork was a guy that the Texans don't feel ownership over. But unlike Ed Reed, Vince Wilfork was very good when he was here with the Texans for what they wanted him to do. Yeah. But he lives down here, but he's not from here.
He's definitely
a
Patriot.
Shane Leckler is very much from Houston.
He is he is from the area. He went to Texas A&M. Only played for the Texans for the last 5 seasons of his career. He is on this team because he was the best punter in football for over a decade with the Raiders.
And the reason you can say only 5 years, which is still a really long time with the Texans, is because he played 13 years for the Raiders.
He played 18 seasons total in the NFL. Last 5 were here.
Has there ever been as good a powerful and impressive, both physically and in a performance, a combo of punter and kicker? As there was with Sebastian Janikowski and Shane Leckler.
No, I think that was the best thing that team had going at times. You know, they did make a Super Bowl with those two guys in 2003, but for most of the time, that was a bad football team, but their special teams were amazing, you know?
Yeah, and there were both a couple of guys that were like, oh, I'd like to have a beer with that guy.
Yes, yeah.
Or in the case of Janikowski, various other things.
Yeah. Well, I'd have a beer with him, but I'd make sure my hand is over the top of the beer at all times.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm taking my drink to the restroom.
Exactly.
Yes.
Little angry that long snapper is Morgan Cox and not John Weeks.
Morgan Cox?
A little disrespectful.
That bum?
Yeah, he's a bum. That's what he is, Seth. He's a bum.
Every time I watch him long snap, I think, oh, my gosh, that is that. No, he is not like ours.
No. Coaching staff, Bill Belichick, head coach, which just hits different in 2025 than it would have, say, like 2 or 3 years ago.
Like, does it?
Well, Belichick is undoubtedly the greatest coach of this quarter century. But like I think like Belichick right now, he's being dragged around by the nose by this young girlfriend.
Yeah, but he hasn't even went from the – I can compartmentalize those things. We have seen nothing of him as a college football coach yet. If he ends up taking UNC to the playoffs this year, he's right back there.
Just hits different. Just makes me chuckle a little bit. That's all. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan is the OC. Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator of the all quarter century team, and we claim Wade Phillips here.
Is he the defensive coordinator? There's only one?
The defensive coordinator. There can only be one.
Nice.
And it is Wade Phillips. Yeah, he acknowledged it on social media yesterday.
I tell you, the most impressive game he called was really, as unfortunately, in a loss to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But they shut the Patriots down. Mm-hmm. Like that Rams defense, Wade Phillips did a lot of things that kind of broke the mold or expectation of what he does with his defense. And the Patriots didn't have any answer for it.
Yep.
Problem was, Sean McVay didn't have any answer for the Patriots.
That's right.
Ultimately, that would lead to Nick Caley being hired because McVay realized, like, all right, I got to switch this system up a little bit. And he liked a lot of the things that the Patriots do offensively, so he brought in Nick Caley to be a part of it.
A lot of people asking who made it ahead of Andre Johnson for the all-quarter-century team, which is it's a very valid question. I would put Andre on my all-quarter-century team. The wide receivers were as follows. The wide receivers for the all-quarter-century team were Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss. Hard to argue with either of those two. Julio Jones, Terrell Owens, Marvin Harrison, Justin Jefferson makes it over Andre Johnson for the all-quarter century team.
Okay, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Because he's still, his rookie year was what, 2020?
2020, yeah.
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 Okay, I've got an issue with that. I was grudgingly okay with all the other ones.
Yep.
But having him be on the practice squad while Justin Jefferson is the starter on the all quarter century team. When he's only 5 years into his career, yeah. 6 years into his career.
Antonio Brown
yeah,
also.
I disapprove
of that as well. Antonio Brown also on the practice squad at wide receiver alongside Andre Johnson. I'm looking at the offensive linemen, particularly the interior offensive linemen, Seth, and I'm just going to rapid fire these. Give me your gut reaction because you played against some of these guys. Alan Faneca.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yep.
He was a son of a – yeah.
Steve Hutchinson.
Uh-huh.
Didn't you say he had a tell?
He had a tell, and it didn't matter.
That's how good he was.
He would kind of flex his middle and index finger right before the snap.
Yeah.
But if it was a hard count or something, he wouldn't do it.
It's interesting. The left side of the
I never got to use that tell.
Yeah.
Somebody had told me about it. Yep. It was whispered, you know?
Yeah.
This was back before everybody told their secrets after a game.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you know that route was coming? Well, when they line up in this formation and the receiver has his inside foot up, I knew.
Idiots.
I'm smart. Everybody look at me.
Yeah.
No, shut up.
Yeah.
Don't tell the tells, you idiots.
The rest of the interior guys, I think, came after you had retired. Jason Kelsey, Zach Martin, Marshall Yanda.
Marshall Yanda.
Yeah.
I was skeptical of Marshall Yanda.
Yeah.
The first few years, he started getting a lot of attention. And then I watched him more closely, and yeah,
you missed him by a year. He was
2007. Offensive lineman. The Pro Bowl offensive line is the one that gets annoying sometimes because there's back before. I think it's not as much a case these days, but back before there were so many people really evaluating offensive line play, there would be guys that would just they would get this big reputation even though they were just above average players. That, but now it's a little bit more. The scrutinized.
Hey, speaking of J.J. Watt, did I see someone throwing shade at you on social media yesterday?
Well, not necessarily.
I saw your name in the same tweet as J.J. Watt's
name. You know what he did? He gave me the old I'm pretty in a girl next door type of way. That's what he said. Darth Texan. Darth Texan, I only know this because Will Kunkel forwarded it to me. Thanks a lot, Will.
Yeah.
I wasn't out there searching my name on Twitter or something. But Will... Will said, "What's your worst sports take of all time?" He said his was Jimmy Clausen was going to be a stud.
Oh.
And Darth Texan.
You
Darth
and Mel Kiper, Will. You and Mel Kiper.
Darth Texan replies, "Worst sports take was saying on draft day that J.J. Watt's ceiling was being the next Seth Payne." Seth was pretty solid, so it's no insult. But we all know how wrong I turned out to be, and I'm glad I was wrong. Did you have to point out how wrong you were?
How wrong?
No.
The delta between Seth Payne and J.J. Watt.
And I thought to myself, this is a good. We'll probably see this up on SportsCenter as a debate topic.
Okay.
Today. Yeah. Was J.J. really, really that much better than Seth Payne?
And Seth Payne. Was this what you were? I was getting push notifications on my phone yesterday, and like after the show, and for an hour. For an hour, at least half of them were mentioned by Seth Payne, and it looked like you were in an argument or a conversation with somebody about something.
Oh, I was in a conversation with Texans commenter.
Oh, that's what it was.
Specifically about EJ Speed.
EJ Speed, that was EJ Speed.
No, and it was one of those things where we were like arguing, but we were arguing about two separate things.
Yeah.
EJ Speed, new Texans linebacker, Texans commenter is very bullish on. I have my... I'm very intrigued and excited about what he can bring to the defense. I think Texans commenter, and I'm going to go on his YouTube later today.
Cool.
I think Texans commenter thinks no, there's a really good chance EJ Speed's going to be a starter, et cetera, et cetera. I think my take is, and I basically said this: like, if you look at the contract, it's not like. I think that it's a classic. Let's get the guy in the building. We like what he does.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Because EJ Speed does fit in the linebacking room because he's really good against the run and very suspect in pass coverage.
Yep.
Which is like that's what all of the Texans linebackers are right now, including Christian Harris if he's healthy. So I do think they'll use him. But the contract, Texans commenter didn't say this, but I've seen people keep asking me this question, and I've seen it is they'll say, well, the contract's structured like they look like they expect them to be a starter.
Yeah.
And I think what the the misunderstanding people have is that a couple of incentives are playtime incentives, where if he plays 88% or 90% of the snaps, he gets a few $100,000. The only reason it's structured that way is because that's a not likely to be earned incentive that the team doesn't have to pay the cap space on it as long as it's something that the guy that you didn't do the year before.
Yeah.
And EJ Speed is a full-time starter for the Colts last year, played 87% of the snaps. So it has, those incentives have zero to do with how the Texans are looking at EJ Speed or all, like, oh, they wouldn't have given them those $500,000 in bonuses unless they were expecting to be a starter. Like, no, just don't read into the contract at all there, other than, yeah, it's a one-year, relatively low dollar amount contract to get him in the door.
I got you. Yeah, I just, because I get push notifications on Houston Texans commenter as well, so I'm going, these zingers going back and forth on my phone because I was CC'd on all these tweets. Yeah.
We weren't even arguing, really. We were just kind of discussing.
You're on his stream today? Today you're going to be on his?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I don't know. Okay. I'll check the
Garrett is his name. Garrett does a great job, so that'll be good. That'll be a must-watch.
Oh, he's got a name?
He's got an actual name. He's a good guy.
I broken, ruins the mystery
I've broken
of
bread
it.
With him, man. We've eaten at Avalon Diner before, me and Garrett. Yeah, hell yeah. He does a great job.
He has a website, too, HoustonStressins.com. Yeah. He does some deep dive articles that are actually really good.
Really long. You got to carve out a lot of time to read them, but they're excellent. All right. So there's your all quarter century team. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Let's circle back to the Astros. If you missed it, Seth and I did the latest Circle of Trust. We'll get you up to speed on who's in, who's out, what's exciting us about these Astros. We'll do that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.